Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Pastor Vic's Nuggets of Truth. As we continue to examine what was purchased for us by Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary, let me remind you that we can look at what Jesus accomplished as an exchange. You'll recall that a covenant, and we live in the new covenant, requires an exchange of assets and liabilities, if you will. Jesus gives us his assets, and we give him our liabilities. In the new covenant, of which Jesus is a covenant head, as I said, he gives us his blessings and takes upon himself what we deserved as sinners. In episode or post 80, we said that the Bible teaches that Jesus took our sin and gave us forgiveness. And I encourage you to look at 2 Corinthians 5, verses 20 and 21. You see, we've been forgiven of our sins in the past, the present, and the future. Now, I know this is a difficult concept to grab a hold of. How can we be forgiven of what we do in the future? Well, it's because we are in the family of God. We are sons and daughters of God. And while there's no excusing wrong behavior or sinful behavior, the truth of the matter is that it's been covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. You see, we all make mistakes. We all stumble. We all fall. But God's grace is sufficient to carry us through that and bring us to right standing with him. Now, again, it may be difficult to comprehend, but this is one of those areas that we have to accept by faith. And faith means believing in the unseen, that Jesus is able and in fact did forgive us of all of our sins. In episode or post 81, we examine the fact that Jesus took our death that we might have his life. Again, Romans 5:10, Hebrews 2:9, check that out. Our death, which means eternal separation from God, has now become eternal life with God. We've received heaven instead of hell. And today we're going to look at that. That truth that Jesus experienced hell that we might experience heaven. You see, before we were born again, you and me, we all deserved hell. The Bible teaches that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's in Romans. And so if all have sinned, then that's what separates us from God. That's why we were destined to go to hell. But because Jesus took our punishment, we have been given heaven. You see, that was the exchange. He gave us heaven and took away our destination of going to hell. Remember, as Jesus hung on the cross, he took on the sins of all of humanity. And he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? This moment represents his experience of what hell was like. Burdened with the sins of humankind and separated from Jehovah God. And that's what hell is all about. Hell is about separation from God for eternity. But we've been spared that because Jesus took that upon himself. And although he experienced hell for us, hell could not hold the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen? Because we know that he rose again. Now, how does this exchange take place? You know, exactly what was going on? Well, if we look at the book of Hebrews, remember, the book of Hebrews was written to a Hebrew audience. In particular, to Jews who had converted to Christianity, and they were very confused between the law and the grace that Jesus Christ provided. But they were very familiar with the Jewish sacrificial system. And it's in the context of the law that Hebrews 13, verses 11 and 12 are clearly understood. Let me read the scripture first. Verse 11 says, "For the bodies of these animals whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned outside the camp." Then verse 12 says, "Therefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. Now, let's try to look at this and try to understand what the full meaning of it is. Jesus was identifying with the Hebrew practice of making a sin offering. Inside the sanctuary, in the temple, the priest would take an unblemished animal and he would lay his hands on its head. Now remember, Jesus was unblemished by sin. He was the Lamb of God, the John the Baptist said, who takes away the sins of the world. But the priest would do this in order to transfer or impute, that's a theological term, the sins of the priest and the sins of the people to the animal. In other words, the sins were transferred to the animal. As believers in Jesus Christ, our sins have been imputed or transferred to him. The priest then went to kill the animal, drain its blood, and remember, Jesus shed his blood for us. And then the sacrificial animal containing all of the sins of the people was taken outside the city to be burned. And Jesus was taken outside the city, not to be burned, but to be buried after his crucifixion. Now, what happened at that moment? Well, Jesus stripped Satan of his power over believers in Jesus Christ. And he led captivity captive. Those are the two things that are addition to everything else that Jesus Christ purchased for you. You see, on the cross, Jesus took our sins upon himself and he stripped Satan of his power over those who are born again. Remember, hell is for those who are not in the new covenant purchased by Jesus Christ. Hell was not created for you, but hell was created for Satan and his followers. Now, Colossians 2:15 says, having disarmed principalities and powers. See, that's the demonic realm. Jesus made a spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. That's a beautiful picture because they would be very familiar with conquering kings. And when the conquering king would come back into the city, he would take all the prisoners and he would demonstrate his triumph over his enemies. Jesus triumphed over his enemies. In Luke chapter 10, verses 18 and 20, Jesus said, he said to his disciples, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. And then he goes on to say, behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions. Don't think of serpents and scorpions as animals. They are demonic spiritual forces. And he gave us authority to trample on them and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing by any means will hurt you. Nevertheless, he says to those who were rejoicing, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you. In other words, you have control over those evil spirits. They can't touch you, but you rebuke them in the name of Jesus and his authority. But then it goes on to say, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Hallelujah. Your name is written in heaven because you put your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ. But Jesus did something else. He also led captivity captive. Now, as a side note, I want to define a couple of words here. The word Sheol, that's an Old Testament word, and the word Hades, that's a New Testament word, and the word hell, it's also found in the New Testament, they really all represent the same thing. In Old Testament theology, it was believed that hell had two areas. The place where the unrighteous dead went was called Gehenna, and a place where the righteous dead went to a place called Paradise or Abraham's bosom. Now you can read this account of the rich man and Lazarus, which describes some of this in Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 31. Now in Ephesians 4, 7 through 8, the scripture says, the apostle Paul writes, but to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gifts. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity and gave gifts to men. You see, when Jesus ascended on high, Jesus led those who were in captivity in paradise or in Abraham's bosom. Now, these would be the Old Testament saints who were found righteous under the law and were awaiting for the coming Messiah, whom we know as Jesus Christ. You see, what the devil intended to be a defeat for our Lord Jesus turned into a glorious victory for our God and for the people of God. That's us. So let me just conclude by saying, number one, remember, you are forgiven. And therefore, you have eternal life with God. And you have eternal life with God in heaven. Heaven is yours. And Satan with all of his demons, they have no power or authority over you. That's not to say you cannot give them that power over you, but you can resist him in the name of Jesus Christ. But all of God's gifts of grace, are received by faith. 2 Corinthians 1:20 says the following: all the promises of God are in him, are yes, that's the promise, and in him, the amen, that's the confirmation. That means so be it. And that has to be our position. Yes, it is true, and we will fulfill it because of the power that God has given us. Now, he who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God. And this is the apostle speaking. And then he goes on to say, he who has also sealed us, that's all of us, and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee or a down payment. See, we get to taste heaven here on earth because heaven resides in us. The kingdom of God is in our hearts. Remember, all of the exchanges that the new covenant provides, they're already present. They're there. They're available to receive as a result of God's grace. However, they must be received by faith. That is, we must believe it, and then we must live our lives as if we believe, not in doubt, fear, or uncertainty, or confusion. Because we are called to walk by faith and not by sight. And so I challenge you this week to be a faith walker. Walk in what Jesus has already purchased for you. You may not see it. The others around you may not see it, but it's as real as you are because it's in the spiritual dimension. And as you walk by faith, you will see God's grace be made manifest or made real in your everyday life. And others will see it as well. And so until the next time, as we examine some more of the great exchanges that took place on the cross of Calvary, until then, may you be richly blessed in every area of your life. And we'll see you the next time.